Lord Jesus, today, Lord, we are overcome, Lord, with your presence here. Lord Jesus, Lord, truly have your way in our lives today. Lord, have your way. Lord Jesus, wherever we've been holding back, we just want to give it all to you today. If there's any areas of our lives where we're saying, hey, you know, we're just going to hold on to this thing, whether it's like a, you know, sin issue, or it's just an area where we just don't want to surrender it to you, Lord, we just lay it down at your feet today. I just feel like there's grace right now. Just if there's anything you're holding on to, just to lay it down, and the Spirit of God's going to remove it. Lord, truly have your way, Lord, among us today. Lord, speak to us out of your word. Lord, we truly want to encounter you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sorry. Sorry. Excuse me. We'll fix it. God is good. Amen. I know, wasn't just the worship powerful? Anybody else want to say the worship team did a great job? Sometimes it's, I just love it when the Holy Spirit hijacks the service. Do you guys like that? It's like, there's been so many times I've just prayed. I'm like, I really don't want to preach. God, just take over the service, you know? Then it's a little scary sometimes when he does, because, do you know God answers every prayer? Do you guys know that? Think about it. God answers every prayer. It's not always yes, though, right? Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's not yet, right? But God truly answers every prayer. I just want you to remember that right now, and we're going to pray and jump in here. God truly answers every prayer that we prayed. And I think sometimes we think that, and I want to say this. Sometimes when the answer is no, it's because he has something better for us. Amen. Right? So I know Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, she said, I'm so glad God didn't answer every one of my prayers with yes. She said, I would have married the wrong guy like 3 times, right? Some of you ladies are like, amen, amen. So it's okay if we have a good time in church today. Woo! Woo! Amen. I'm just going to pray. I need to pray. Lord Jesus, today, Lord, have your way. Lord, we thank you for your joy. We thank you for taking over. Lord, we just need you today, Lord, to do what you truly want to do. Lord, in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, Lord, in our families, in this community, we say yes and amen to the word and the prayers and God, all that you're doing. My message is called Tipping Point, and I just feel we're at a tipping point where something is about to tip in the spirit, where there's going to be a harvest. There's going to be an ingathering. There's going to be breakthrough. Things that we prayed for years and years. Some of the new people have just come in and they're praying and it's going to happen instantly. So Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that just a moment in your presence, Lord, everything can change. Think about Esther when she went before the king, Lord, and it was like in a moment, a nod from the king and everything had flipped. Lord, so Lord, we just release that right now, Lord, in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good, right? It's true. It's true. My message is called Tipping Point. You can put that, Tipping Point. I want to thank you, buddy, for just making that graphic last night really late and making us look good. Buddy, hooking it up. And he's like, hey, does your message have anything to do with surfing? I'm like, well, not really, but hey, it works, right? Surfing will come out somewhere, my message. But I have a simple definition for a tipping point. It's the point at which a series of small changes or incidents become significant enough to cause a larger, more important change. Little changes, small increase, incidents that become significant enough to cause a larger change, right? And sometimes we don't realize the little things that are changing. And I want to talk about that in the spirit today as well. You know, I was thinking about how, you know, there's a tipping point in the spirit and what that looks like. But sometimes we don't realize, hey, that when we go to work and we're sharing the love of Jesus with people around us, you know, maybe not like quoting scripture and verse, but just being nice to people and having a good attitude. You know, a good attitude will preach. And I say that a good attitude will preach the gospel, right? And we need to do more than that, but that's part of it right there. And sometimes we don't realize that our lives are testifying of the love of Jesus. We don't always know what is happening below the surface. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a tipping point. Amen? I read this. It's actually a pastor's daughter. You can put the first slide up there. Text her dad. And this was the text. That's why it says you in there. It says, how come when you start really praying for something, it looks like the opposite occurs? Has that ever happened to you? You don't have to raise your hand, but I will, right? Sometimes you're like, okay, you're finally jumping into something. You're really praying into something that the Lord has spoken to you about. And it seems like, wait a second, now there's resistance. What's up with that, right? I know how this pastor answered the question. He said this. He said, in the beginning of a process working towards the tipping point, gravity is working against you. Right? You can just say this to me. Say, gravity's working against you. All right? It says, as you continue to work towards the tipping point, what you're working against is now working for you. Now say, gravity's working for you. I was thinking about illustrations of this, and I don't know if I see it. Ruth Ann, she was saying she does CrossFit. I think all our preschool teachers should do CrossFit. You know, they're awesome, right? And so she was talking about flipping a tire, right? One of those big, crazy tractor tires. If Ruth Ann's here, I don't think she's here yet, doing kids and stuff. But if she comes in, we'll have her, you know, air flip a tire, right? But she was talking about how she's like, there's no way I'm going to be able to flip this tire. But in the beginning of the process, gravity's definitely working against you. And there's a part where you really just need to get under that and just... And I've never flipped a tire, but I have, like, moved lots of pianos and heavy things, right? I used to work at an auction house and move things I shouldn't have. But the thing is, when anything's really heavy, there's a point where it begins to tip. One thing about cool thing about a piano is once you get it up to that tipping point, you can almost just hold it with one hand there, you know? It's like you don't want your friends to walk away too far, right? But you can hold it there because it's up on a balance point. And then all you have to do is just, like, let go, and it's going to come down, baby, right? And so, but there's this point where we're pressing against the resistance, and then the breakthrough happens. It says that there's a point that you pass, there's a window of resistance to the tipping point where the momentum is now unstoppable. And the key is not to quit at the point where gravity's working against you, knowing that there's a point where the same force is now working for you. Go to the next slide. It's I want to read this. 1 Corinthians 16:9. It says, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Okay, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's ministering, and all of a sudden there's a door of opportunity that opened to him. Right? That sounds really good. Hey, people are hungry for the gospel. They've made a way for me to go. But read the second part of that verse. And there are many adversaries. It's like, is that a contradiction? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Bueller? No. Fry? No. The same can be true when we're following God's word in our lives, when we're being obedient to the vision that he's given us. There are times when there's a great opportunity. Again, it seems like right when we're praying for it, right when we're stepping in, there's resistance that happens, right? But both are true, and we just have to press through that, amen? Chris Vallotton says it this way. He's got this great quote. He says, the dogs of doom stand at the doors of your destiny. When you hear them barking, you know you are near your promised land. Most people retreat in fear instead of crossing over and capturing their land. Sometimes there's that moment right there, so close, right? And sometimes those dogs are barking the loudest, right? And the enemy knows when to turn up that barking. I shared this a little bit last Sunday at the 11 a.m. service. I'm going to dig a little deeper here. But Moses, in the scripture, he had this amazing encounter at the burning bush. I'm not going to go into it. But these are those encounters that you read about in the Bible, and you're like, oh my gosh, how cool would that be? And also you're like, how scary would that be? Right? It's like, hey, God is awesome, but it would be a little scary. But as, you know, Moses goes before the Lord, and God commissions him to go to Pharaoh and to, you know, be a spokesman for the people of Israel. And actually, you know, he says, hey, God says, I've heard their cry for deliverance. I've heard their cry to end the slavery that they're under. Go be my champion. Go before Pharaoh and say, let my people go and out in the wilderness and worship you. Worship me, saying, you know, worship the Lord. And so this is a very clear word of the Lord for Moses, right? He like had an encounter with the Lord. Sometimes, you know, you hear something and you're not too sure. God, are you sure you want me to do this? You're like, hey, I think I've got a prophetic word. Are you sure? You like flicker the lights on and off, right? Have somebody come up and tell me. You know, have you ever done that? That's just me, right? If this is really you, God, right? Well, Moses had a clear word. He had a clear commission to go before Pharaoh, right? So he does, right? He goes before Pharaoh. And how did it turn out? How did it turn out? The first time he went before Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh's like, no, we're not going to let the people go, right? And so he had to come back and forth before Pharaoh. And every time there was a plague, there was a judgment, right, against Pharaoh in Egypt. And actually, right away, he was going before Pharaoh to bring deliverance. Say deliverance. Say freedom, right? And that's what he was going for. But actually, right away, the instant result of his going there was it got worse. Right? Even the people are like, Moses, you're making it worse. Right? And he's been making it worse. And so how many plagues are there? You guys know? 10 plagues, right? It's not a trick question or anything, but there's 10 plagues, right? And Moses keeps going before Pharaoh, and we're gonna go to the next slide here. It's Exodus, verse 10, verses 28 and 29, and it says this. And so this is at the ninth plague. This is right after the ninth plague. So Moses is going back and forth to Pharaoh, and he says this. It says, the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on. Oh, go back to the next slide. Sorry, it's Exodus 10. We're going to get to this one, verses 28 and 29. I think you guys got it back there, but I'll read it here. It says this. It says, then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in the day you will see my face, you shall die. So Moses said, you've spoken well. I will never see your face again. Right? So he goes with the word of the Lord, with this amazing encounter. Right? And it's just getting worse. Every time he goes, he's like, what am I doing wrong? It's getting worse. And Pharaoh's like, you get away from me. If I see your face again, you will die. So Moses' response is like, okay, that's cool. That's cool. I'm never coming back, right? What if Moses stopped right there? What if he stopped right there? Right? What would happen to the people of Israel, right? We don't know. The book doesn't tell us. But good thing for them, Moses didn't stop short of the promise. And I think some of us are right on that edge, right at that place where, like, we're just going to break through, right? And we just want to push against it. I think God broke it off in the worship, so maybe it's already done. Amen, it's already done in Jesus, right? We just got to agree with what he's doing. So next verse is Exodus 11:1. And so I can imagine the conversation Moses is having with the Lord. He's like, okay, God, I've done everything you've called me to do. Pharaoh says, if I come back once more, I'm going to die. Right? But look what the Lord says. And the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. So no, not only is Pharaoh going to let him go, but he's like going to drive them out. And they're going to be like able to grab the gold and the silver and all this. People are going to be like, oh, please go. Here, take all the goods with you. But I heard a story of a pastor who was actually reading this, like I am today, in a church service. And he misspoke, right, as he was preaching, as he was reading. Many times I do that, right? But he said this, instead of saying one more plague, he said this, one more praise, right? And all of a sudden, the Lord just spoke to him. He said, what if the breakthrough in your life that you've been reaching for, what if that tipping point, what if it was just one more praise? What if it was one more time where you lifted up your hands? It was one more time you came to the altar and said, God, break this off my life. One more time praying for that family member that you have no faith for. You know? You're like, God, but one more time and then they get saved. Maybe 10 people have prayed for you for healing and you're like, God, I don't know what's going on. You come up to the altar one more time and you're healed and set free. Can I get an amen? One more praise. And I feel like that's the word that God is speaking right now to our church. That we're right on the edge of something awesome. And it's not just, I think it's in every realm. It's not just in our church. It's in your life, in your family's life, in your work life. I think there's going to be breakthrough all around. And there's this idea in scripture that the prayers of the saints are like bowls of incense. Right, it talks about in the book of Revelation. And this idea is that I think sometimes when we pray, we think like we have to start all over from scratch. We pray for something and we don't see the result that we want right away. Again, I'll just say, hey, that's me, right? I've done that. I know that I have a friend, right? I have this friend. So sometimes we're praying and we're interceding and we're in the prayer room, we're crying out for God, and we just don't feel like we got the result we wanted. And so we stop praying. And maybe God will move on our hearts again to pray. And we pray, we cry out. And sometimes I think we have to start all the way over from the beginning. Go back, right? Go back and start all over. But that's not the word of the Lord here. The picture in scriptures is that as we continue to pray, we're filling those bowls of incense. But there's going to come a tipping point when they're going to get full and they're going to pour out. Amen? You guys believe that today? I believe it. I'm going to the next slide here. So this is this picture in Revelation. It says, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Next slide. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it on the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. Guys are saying, what on earth is he talking about, right? Short answer is this. When you pray, you are filling bowls of incense in heaven, prayer bowls. In God's perfect timing, your prayers are mixed with the fire of God, the power of God, and cast back down to earth to change your situation. Even if you don't feel like anything is happening in the natural world, when you pray, you're filling those bowls in the spirit realm, okay? And when they're full, they will tilt and pour out and answer your prayers, amen? Is this making sense? All right, I'm almost done here. John chapter 4, verses 37 and 38. Now, this is the end of the story of the woman at the well. We're not going to get in there for the sake of time, but this is after that encounter. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." So again, you're like, hey, what is Pastor John preaching today? How does this apply to my life? I'm not a farmer. No, I'm just kidding. Do you have a garden? No. It's a hipster thing now. Everybody have a garden. I love gardening. But need a community garden at this church, right? Preach it right now. So there's this analogy in Scripture. There's this picture in Scripture of farming, right, that flows through Scripture. And it talks about plowing, you know, plowing up the hard ground. I think sometimes we say this in church when we didn't have a good church service. Like, hey, I was plowing, man. That ground was rough, and I was plowing. And I know the middle schoolers aren't here. They're in their service right now. But I love the middle schoolers. But I've had some of the best and worst messages I've ever had with the middle schoolers there, right? I've been just totally stonewalled, right? They don't even, like, acknowledge you that you're doing anything, speaking or anything, right? Is that ever? Okay, no, just kidding. But you're like, man, we were just plowing, and plowing's good. There's a season that we just need to plow, where it doesn't look like anything's happening, and we're just plowing. There's a season then we're sowing. We're just sharing that word. We're inviting people to church. We're offering to pray. We're encouraging people. We're giving, encouraging words to them. And there's other seasons where, you know, we're watering. It's discipleship, right? We're pouring out. We're encouraging. We're lifting up. We're watering. And then there's a season where we're reaping the harvest, right? Isn't that a good season when you actually see the fruit, right? All that hard work comes back to you. And I don't want to minimize any season, but I feel like we're getting into a season of reaping, amen? And what the Scripture was talking about is saying, hey, there's times where you could join the team right at that right moment where, hey, you missed the plowing, you missed the sowing, you miss the watering, right, and the pruning and all that other stuff that goes into it. And you show up right at harvest time, right? I feel like we're in that season right now, amen? So it's like all you got to do is like, hey, everybody's done the hard work. All we got to do is just collect the fruit, amen? I believe we're entering a season like that. And how many people have, and just humor me here, how many people have been here for more than 30 years at this church? Raise your hand. I see you. Anybody? Yeah. Awesome. 30 years. Give them a hand. 25 years. Anybody 25? See? Look at these hands. 25 years. 20 years. Raise your hand. Nice. 20 years. 15 years. I made the club. I'm 15. Actually, 16 years now. Feel old. 10 years. 10 years. 5 years. Under 5. Right? Ow! Right? But what I'm saying here is that we've had seasons. You know, we've plowed and we've sown and we've watered, and there's been reaping along the way. But I think we're in this season right now as people are coming to our church. They're entering in a harvest season, a season of reaping, amen? And it's going to be easy. I want to share this testimony real quick. My father-in-law, Koch's dad, got saved this year. Amen. Kutch and I have been married for over 13 years. I know, shocking to you. We got married when we were 12, so. That's what Kutch thinks, so. But I've been praying for this guy for over 13 years. And this is the year that he gets saved, right? And he's not just saved, he's been set free. He's in his right mind. God has brought a restoration in the relationship between Koch and her dad. And this is one of those people, you know those people in your family that is hard to pray for? You know who I'm talking about? Where you start to pray and you start getting hurt again and offended again, and right? You need healing after your prayer time. Okay, you know who you are, so... it's a miracle, right? And I remember Katja telling me, Katja's mom has passed away in home with the Lord. But Katja told me, she said, I know my dad's going to get saved because of all the prayers of my mom. You know, and so we've just entered into those prayers. We've seen a miracle happen. It's awesome. I'm like so filled with faith. I'm like, yeah, I'll pray for anybody. They're coming in, amen. If you can do it with him, there's nothing you can't do. And again, one of the catalysts for this was what my life group. Where's Dave McReynolds? David McReynolds, stand up, Dave. Let's give Dave a hand. Love this guy. He hosts our life group. He's one of our life group leaders. It's awesome. God's doing amazing things. He's one of our on our board here. But you can sit down for a second, Dave. But we've been praying in our life group. You know, we've seen so many testimonies in our life group, in our prayer time. So this is a, go ahead, you know, insert here, right? This is product placement. Life group commercial. Join life group. No. But we've been praying. And we've seen so many people get healed in our life group. We prayed for jobs where people needed a job. They've got a job. We prayed for a house. God sent them a house. You know, so many things. Family members. And again, some of these family members were like, ooh, you know. But we've seen the breakthrough. And Dave was like, oh, no, let's pray for him. And it was like, I was like, you know, let's pray for him. And the breakthroughs come. Right? So sometimes all you need is that one person to say, hey, will you pray for this for me right now? Right? Sometimes you don't have faith for those things. Right? So let's just do it right now. If you need breakthrough right now in anything, healing, salvation in your family, you know, just breaking off of sin in your workplace, in your finances, just raise your hand if you need breakthrough. People next to you want you to put your hand on them and just pray right now. We're just going to take 30 seconds to pray. Lord Jesus, right now, Lord, we lend our faith, the corporate faith in this room to release salvation, to release healing, to release breakthrough. Lord, we loose a spirit of revival in this church today. Lord, we just say, Lord, the harvest is ripe. We are white unto harvest. Lord, so Lord, we just truly want to respond to this word today, Lord, that you are bringing a tipping point in our church, Lord, in our family, in our community, in our workplace. Lord, we release breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. Feels good, huh? Almost done here. Why don't I just have the worship team come? That's how you stall everybody of the worship team come, right? They think you're closing. No, I'm just kidding. Next verse, John 17, verse 3. It's going to be our last verse and share a few closing thoughts. It says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life? That they may know you, may know the Lord, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. The Greek word, I'm not even going to pronounce it, but that says that they may know you is an experiential knowledge. Right? Experiencing God. I know the Lord in an experiential way. Right? I know Milt in an experiential way. Right? Experimental, no. Experiential. Right? Milt teases me. He hits me. All right? Right? I know, like, he puts his, you know, you fist bump. You know, I know Milt's laugh. I know his smile. If Milt calls me on the phone, okay, I'm going to date myself. This is before cell phones and before caller ID. Even like rotary phones. Remember rotary phones, right? Dating myself. But remember when somebody called, you didn't know who was on the other line, right? You didn't know. Now everybody knows. That's why, like, just text me. I'm not even going to answer anyways right now. I'm just kidding. But you know when people would call you and they know who you are, but you have no idea who they are? And you're like, oh, hey, what's up? You know? And you're talking and you're trying to figure out. Sometimes you're even asking questions to try to find out who they are, right? But then there's people, you know their voice. If Milt calls me, I know who it is, amen? right? God wants you to know him on that level. When he's speaking to you, you're like, oh, that's the Lord. I know who that is. When I come to church, I'm going to experience God. When we're worshiping the Lord in our songs, it's not like we're just singing to the God of the universe. It's like, no. He's in the room. We're singing right to him. Amen. We're experiencing the presence of the Lord. Amen. Even when we're reading the scripture, you know, I heard this analogy, and I was talking about the word, and obviously it's all about the word. We believe in the word here, but sometimes even the word can be like, hey, I know a lot about the word, but somehow I've missed Jesus in that. Right? I heard the story of a person who got a new car. It was a Nissan car. Right? The story was the guy's British, so he called it a Nissan car. Got a brand, and he's all, imagine I got a brand new Nissan car. And in with the car, I got a Nissan manual, right? And I was like, oh, this is cool. I'll pick it up. And he picks it up, and he's like, wow, this Nissan manual is amazing. He's reading it. There's you know, there's about shifting and maintenance and, you know, all these different, you know, like upkeep. He's reading all these articles about it. And he's like, this is so cool. He's like, you know what? I want to start memorizing parts of the Nissan manual. So he's putting out little notes, and he's like sticking them on the shower, like the mirror. So he's shaving, he's memorizing, or puts them in his car. And he's like, you know what? He's like, I'm going to hang out with other people who like the Nissan manual. Right? So they get in a Nissan club, and they're reading it, and they're sharing, doing talks about it. And then he's like, you know what? He's all, I want to learn Japanese so I can study the Nissan manual in its original language. But the point of the manual is not to fall in love with the manual. It's to drive the car. Amen? The point of the scripture here is to know Jesus. So that's why we read it. It's a living word. It's a living Bible. Everything we want to do, this is eternal life, that we know him. We want to invite people into knowing the Lord. So everybody stand up with me. I'm going to share one more thought, and we're going to close here with an altar call. So again, maybe the breakthrough's already happened. We've had a crazy time of worship and crazy good time of worship. We've had a great prophetic flow, an encouraging prayer flow. But if you still need breakthrough, I want you to come to the altar. You know, one, the first thing is, if you say, you know what, I don't know if I know the Lord that way. I don't know if when he calls my name, if I know it's him. Maybe I don't know this God that you're talking about. He wants to know you. He's here today to meet you. And he's here today to bring breakthrough in your life. There's an amazing woman of God, Heidi Baker, who's actually does missions all over the world, but she's based in Mozambique in Africa. And I heard this story that she shared, and she talked about going to a village and ministering to a village in Africa. And have you ever got like a strange present, right? It's okay. You don't have to raise your hand. I have this friend who got this strange present, right? And you're like, what do I do with this? What were they thinking, right? Well, this village gave her a present. She'd been ministering there, and it was a black horse, right? Beautiful black horse. And she's like, okay, God, that's interesting. She's like, I'm almost 50 years old, and I have no desire to ride a horse. I haven't ridden a horse in years and years, right? She's like, what's up with this horse? What are you doing with this horse? And so she prays, and she says, God, what are you speaking to me out of this horse? And the Lord spoke to her clearly and said this, do you remember when you were 8 years old and you prayed and asked me for a black horse? She had forgotten that prayer. God didn't forget her prayer. Amen. And he's like, here's your horse. Get on that horse and ride your horse. Amen. So I just feel like right now give him praise. Give him praise. I just feel right now, in this moment, I want the worship team's going to play. I encourage you to come to the front. You can also just, God will meet you in the aisle as well, but I encourage you to come up to the front, have an encounter with the Lord. And even those prayers that you've forgotten, you've prayed, Or those things where you had stalled out. You had stopped praying for. God is going to bring breakthrough in this season. Amen.